All right, everyone, and welcome to another episode of No Quitters, the best MTV The Challenge podcast in the universe. My name is Clem. I'm your host, and I'm joined, as always, by my alliance in the podcast. We got JJ. We got Cons. We got Riggs. We got Eddie. We have Eddie post-move in – is this bed? Is this bed right now or on couch?
This is bed, so I don't got much, like, set up already to kind of, you know, sit in a good posture, and that's also – I mean, I could probably find something, but yeah, I just kind of feel like laying down doing the podcast today.
Hey,
I feel like better couch is like synonymous with each other for Eddie right now.
I think anyone that's been through a move, Eddie's my early MVP for just being there on the move. You have is this Comcast apartment as well?
The Comcast, yep.
So you even having internet to talk to us, TV to watch the show is an upset for anyone who's ever had Comcast. So we're very happy Eddie's with us. We have JJ, who's freshly haircutted, you basically saved all your money from the quarantine on haircuts, and then you did a haircut plus 200% tip on top of it.
Yeah.
For the first haircut in that fucking – at your barber, which is a move.
Yeah, they open at noon. On Friday, we moved into, like, the phase where barbers could open. I was in the chair at noon.
And that's nice nothing better – Your hair is the first one to touch that floor in months. That's special. That's special. It's a special feeling to have.
They do get nervous around, like, cutting around the mask because you have got to have a mask on. Like cutting.
Oh,
around
really?
The
oh,
yeah. Shit. So, like, makes sense, but, so I was like, oh, I'll just take it off and hold it, you know, because I'm not trying to be like, yeah, dude, I'll just take it off for a second and, like, mess up their first thing and get a fine or whatever.
But, right.
So I was like, yeah, I'll just hold it. You can go around my ear, put it back on. Same thing on the other side.
Yeah, so, like, I can understand, like, the awkwardness of, like, do I hold it in the right spot? Am I holding it too high, too low? Or it's like, no. I wanted to start, like, right here versus up there.
Yeah.
That's a good way to make it easier for everyone to know where the lines you want and whatnot. We actually had AJ go for his – because he just gets buzz cuts now at home because that's what we did during the quarantine. But it just comes in at all different levels. It's a fucking disaster. So it's crazy how much a haircut – even on like a two-year-old baby or like even an idiot like me when I just shave my head, it just makes you feel so much better. So shout out to everyone getting good, feeling good. Riggs came home. He shaved it off. And – I don't know where this is going, folks. We kind of say we're going to just start off in a different way. Cons has requested the floor to start off.
It's
going to
be
podcast.
So bad. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be so bad.
It's so bad, or it's going to be a confession.
Guys, I've been thinking a lot about the size of marshmallows.
He's like Nelson.
Fort Lodges.
Listen, he's going to talk like Nelson right now. Just let him do his Denzel.
All right, Cons, you have the floor.
All right. It's unbelievable to me that you think at some point – some people are just trolling you with the shit they say. And you're like, there's no way you can continue to say these sorts of things and just be this ridiculous and this wrong. And bad Bobby.
Are we talking about the president?
No. We're talking about bad Bobby, who reared his ugly head once again when he tweeted in a debate with a buddy about what celebrity athlete you most want to drink with. If you had to come up with the number or the four overall number one seeds, who do you have? Anyone in their prime follows that up with, there's only three other chances. Bill Rafferty is the overall number one seed.
Yep.
I don't even know who the fuck that is. That's a name I've heard before.
For me, we've talked about him before. For me, that's the number one off seed. You talk about a guy who's known as Uncle One More, a guy who's known for buying out the bar, a guy who's known for drinking anything and everything from Jersey, Connor.
Knocking Bill
college
Rafferty.
Basketball.
This is a college basketball
want.
Guy.
Yeah,
no, college basketball right. guy. You go Larry Bird because Larry Bird drinks Budweiser's, and Budweiser's the strongest beer.
Yeah,
of all
but
time.
He played for the Celtics and fuck.
That's
that.
What Charles Barkley said.
Dude, listen. I mean, someone who can just
Rafferty's my number one for me. Yeah, that's who's my number
Bobby,
one.
Bobby, like that's just ridiculous because he just sits there and drinks. Where's the fun in that? I need people who
that's
are going to get
want.
Wild and have fun. And
no.
Bill Rafferty doesn't come to mind.
No, you want to have guys that murder people with you. I want guys that will sit there and drink.
Yeah, Kazi's a guy who will hide the body. Like, when you lift up the legs, I'll get the arms.
Yeah, no, I want to sit at a bar and just sit there.
Listen, I forgot about Bad Bobby was a nickname that Bobby had. I mean, this is before he even worked at Barstool because his takes were so atrocious on Twitter. I forgot about Bad Bobby because he had a few good takes sprinkled in with some very bad takes along the way as well. You can go on his Twitter feed at Barstool Reads and see them. You can fucking listen to last week's episode when he called Nani Jim Boeheim, who has fucking a championship, a bunch of Final Fours, championship appearances, whatever. We're not going back to that. However, Bill Raftery cons is a fucking drinking legend. And I will say,
I'm not saying he's not, but is he a number one seed? When
for me, yeah. It's about who you athlete? Want. It's who are your number one seeds. Well, yeah. I didn't say like who are the overall. It's like who are your number one seeds?
And I'll say times, this.
You Bill, probably got some fucking fourth commander or something.
Yes, Eddie.
Let's be real here.
No, Eddie is the swing vote in any conversation. He's just such a good guy who makes such good points, and the accent, you just lost the title.
Connor would pick some guy who played at West Point in like 1973.
You know who I would pick just to stick it to Bobby is Mike Krzyzewski, just to piss off Bobby.
That's because you went to Army, and he's the worst human being ever.
I don't think he is. I think he's a great example for
Bobby hates the troops. Good to know.
Wow.
Now I have to timestamp this episode so then people don't complain about the – all right. You know, fuck it. We're just going to go all the way in on this now. We're going to steer into it. Is this dead or alive, Bobby? Is this like – is this anybody?
Yeah, it's like who do you want in their prime? So my four number one seeds were Raftery, pre-divorce Tiger, Ric Flair, and college Eli Manning.
I think Ric Flair is awful.
Dude, yeah, Jesus, what a terrible
Ric Flair. Ric Flair is a great drinking guy.
Why is Ric Flair awful? We're talking prime Ric Flair.
Right.
Dylan.
Yeah.
Kiss Dylan.
You want him to be fucking just slapping you in the chest every 5 seconds?
No, he's not going to slap me in the chest. He's not going to slap his friends. Slapping ass because he's cheating on his wife nonstop. He's not there for Charlotte's
Look at him and Randy Orton. Look at him and Randy Orton. You can be his Randy Orton.
I am against anybody who's going to fucking put me in a chokehold at the bottom.
That's fair.
Eddie, that's not a bad statement. My number one seed, number one overall, even higher than the great Bill Raftery, is a guy that can put you in a chokehold. He's dead. But Andre the Giant, come on. I mean, everything you heard about
this. Andre the Giant was temperamental, and he would grip you up. Ric Flair does not grip you up. Ric Flair will take his shirt off, start doing like knee drops on his own shirt. Andre the Giant will grip you up or sit on you and fart just for fun. Like that's what he did.
Ric Flair will talk to girls.
The correct answer here is Dennis Rodman.
He's too crazy.
I mean, but if you're talking number one overall seeds, that's a good choice.
I think it's not a bad choice. He's too crazy for me.
He broke his dick twice.
Yeah.
Having sex.
I mean, John Daly's got to be in the conversation.
Daly was in the conversation. Seed. Also, another John Mayer was in the conversation.
Didn't they say in the documentary that he and Ric Flair were under 100 kamikazes and 100 beers every time he walked in the bar?
Yeah.
Sounds like I'm drinking for free for the night.
Wow. You're going to have some heartburn, though, man. Kamikazes will fucking bite you big time. Well. And listen, JJ. Andre the Giant will fucking fart on you and chokeslam you. Me and Andre, I think we're fucking – I'm like the little dog in the stable. He's the horse. We keep each other company. We have the same, like, mood. You're busting Andre's balls. You're asking him about the fucking singlet and shit like that, how he, like, Hogan body slam him. You're getting farted on. Let's just call that what it is.
So then the debate – what here's what the debate really, like, started from then turned into this. It was, would you rather – like, you're going out to a bar, like, whatever bar you typically go to. You have prime Leo or prime Jack Nicholson? And it's just who you are. Like, who would you rather go out
with?
It
just depends. You want to fuck 25-year-olds or 19-year-olds? That's all you're – that's the question.
That is a good point. All right.
I mean, it's fair. This is
the most important thing. We have everyone giving one seeds everything. Eddie. Who came to mind for you? Like, it doesn't have to be your number one, but who's the first person that came to mind that you kind of felt?
It's probably going to be like Phil Margera.
No, it's not Phil Margera. I hate to do this, but can I come back next week with this? I don't. Sure. I need to think about this, okay?
It's a tough question. We got to go off the riff, though.
But I don't like giving an answer that I can't stand by. That
sounds like a snake draft.
That's fair. This sounds like a snake draft.
we're
inceptioning dog walk again. Don't mind us. Which, by the way, if anyone hasn't listened yet, the dog walk with the 90s musical draft was as good as promised. There was a lot of contention. There were some crazy like takes. There was the fucking infamous Beastie Boys boy band
moment. Connor, you agreed with my take on that one too. You even liked it.
Which was what?
It's appalling that Hootie and Third Eye Blind were not drafted.
Yeah, that was tough to see.
I unfollowed Carl for 72 hours after I heard the Beastie Boys line. I randomly like just popped in my house like, oh shit, I didn't refollow Carl, so I'd refollow him at like 11 o'clock last night when I was in bed. Just really popped in my head.
I couldn't believe nobody took Alanis Morissette.
That's a good one. I don't think Chief got enough love for the Mariah Carey pull either. No, I love Mariah Britney Spears. So Britney Spears is 90s. Mariah Carey is probably the greatest diva of all time. And
I think Britney's like early 2000s.
And even Britney was hot. She rose like a fucking phoenix, but she burned out. I mean, she was shaved head, swinging umbrellas, which I think JJ probably loved. He loved that phase of Britney.
So here's
schoolgirl Britney, all right?
Yeah. original Britney.
Yeah.
So here's the question.
Britney classic.
Who's the one guy and one girl in challenge history that are your number one overall drinking partners?
I mean, Bananas is the guy. And then,
what are you guys going to fucking read a book after?
No.
CT. Actually, CT. The answer is CT.
You want a guy in a chokehold, CT's putting you in a chokehold.
CT might get a little angry. I was actually going to say maybe Evan would actually be even better than Bananas. Evan would probably be good. Gosh, girls? That's tough.
Derek's pretty good. Derek's a pretty good drinking guy. I mean, he might be
getting
into a fight. I feel
like Landon's a sneaky pick still.
Landon's a sneaky pick. Kahuta. Kahuta's a good fucking pick, actually. Kahuta's bring his own moonshine. It has like the X's on it and shit like that.
Maybe Robin. Maybe Robin would be my female choice.
Robin's a good one. That moment when my wife still brings this up to this day. It's like her favorite moment in reality TV history is when both people in San Diego got thrown. I think it's Brad and Robin got thrown into jail the same night. But they went to different jails or something like that. It's like one of those classic real world MTV moments. So
I'm gonna pick Tina.
Ooh, Tina's a good one too.
You guys live in a war zone.
Why?
Of like, I have like fireworks going nuts every.
Oh
night.
Yeah,
like,
dude, every night.
I just night. Like. It sounded like someone was banging on my front door just now.
Dude,
couple miles away, so it's not too bad.
Last night, we had the ones going off over the Hudson, so the legit Macy's fireworks, those things were loud as shit. And I'm like a good three-fourths to a mile away from the Hudson, and I heard those loud and clear.
Oh, I think it sounds like people are in the Planet Fitness parking lot, like across the street, setting them off.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we'll give another dog walk plug. Eddie had a fireworks guy on today, part two tomorrow.
Oh, I meant to listen.
This has just become the dog walk reaction podcast.
It's like the dog exercise right now.
Yes,
this is the best marketing. This is the best marketing.
I can't complain. You guys are great.
This is our podcast. This isn't even a challenge podcast. It's a dog walk review podcast.
Yeah. A dog walk idea podcast.
I'm surprised no one has made, or maybe they haven't, no one's listened to it, but just like a Barstool podcast. Like an outsider just like, here's the Barstool podcast.
Almost like the Reddit, but in podcast.
Yeah. There's someone on the Reddit who really hates when we haven't talked challenge at all yet.
Yeah.
And he is furious.
Those guys are
so funny.
I think I'm just going to I might just crop this first, like, because this is probably going to turn into a half hour and just put it at the end of the show and just go, whoop, 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 and then we're going to, like, and at the end, you're going to hear Connor's thing that led to Bad Bobby leading to the hijacking this podcast.
But you agree with me. You can't say Bad Bobby when you agree with me.
No, there's good. That was decent, Bobby. I won't give you good, Bobby. That was kind of what radio was, you know. Barstool Radio was kind of like Dave giving an update on Barstool for an hour. But the fact no one's done it, I actually thought about this the other day, and like Podfather is just one day being like, all right, now we're just a Barstool podcast, but there's just so much shit going on. You have to be in the office, and it's going to lead to some ugly shit where you have to talk about some crazy stuff with coworkers.
But what I think is important to note.
I mean like an outsider, like Tommy Smokes, like his Rayman Survivor thing.
I think it'd be interesting to hear people outside who have no connection with the company whatsoever.
You get it some with like when you guys have really big stories, like comedians talk about it. But.
Yeah. All right. We'll get into the challenge now. Let's see. So we start off the episode. There's a lot of shit happened tonight. Bailey saying she decided not to go in, which I thought was hilarious. I just wrote Josh annoying. I mean, that's probably been there since like week one of the fucking season.
3 years ago.
Yeah, that's an evergreen. That's an evergreen note.
Yeah. Fessy, who said he was like this close to the NFL, then casually mentioned.
Yeah, go. I got to complain with him.
He was the 30th ranked tight end in his draft.
The Bears wanted him in the fourth round.
Fuck off.
That was an unnecessary shot, Eddie. But this was a comeback for the Jeremy Lin, the super team shot. Yep. I had to get it before the season was over. I had to get it in. So I apologize, but it had to be done.
I'm sorry, but how many tight ends are taken in the draft every year?
Six.
Yeah, I mean 6 to 8, and then you know they're undrafted, but like not every team is taking a tight end. So to say you were going to get drafted, get in the league. I mean,
you know what? It's so funny though, too, because wait, he played double A baseball too?
No, like D1 double A. Like he was, like D1 double A guys don't make the NFL.
No, but it's more of a long shot. So,
right.
You look at the percentages of D1A guys who make it.
You're not playing at Bama.
No, but
12 tight ends got drafted this year, just for reference sake. I don't know, depending on what year it is. But we'll just
double that, and Fessy's not in there.
But I mean, I think that to Bobby's point, that's kind of crazy to be a 1AA guy and put all your hopes in the fact that you're going to be the one dude who makes it that year from 1AA.
I mean, we're watching.
No, but that's what's great. That's what's great.
Looking at Harvard. He's clearly a moron.
Yeah.
Look at where he is.
No, but I think that's what's funny. It's like, man, I was putting all my eggs in one basket going to the NFL. All right, I still don't want a real job. What can I do? Okay, I'll go be on Big Brother. And then he's parlayed that into this. This guy is just a classic case of I don't want to actually work.
God bless, man. Mail time, snake until you make it. I mean the guy's living a
dream. You're looking at a lot of people that do that.
I'm not I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying it's very clear that this is just someone who does not want a conventional
job. Well, I went to grad school. I signed an extra 2-year option.
Wait, Ed, you went to grad school?
Yeah, 2-year extension.
You have you have a graduate degree?
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here.
Surprisingly.
Wow, good for you. You're nice.
Sport administration, so it's not like
So yeah, it's not a thing that you want to talk about.
I mean, it's not like I don't exactly, you know.
But basically, Fessy was Ricky Bobby when he's like down on his luck. He's like, I sent in my audition tape for The Real World. I put a lot of eggs into that basket, MTV basket. Like, that's what it is. And then Corey had probably the most like prolific sentence ever in challenge history. I like you from the beginning because you're real, and you got to respect that being real, and you got to keep those people in your life because they're real. That's what he said, and he said it in the deep way that, like, Nelson does.
Yeah. Big episode for Captain Kanz's biggest foil right here, man. The guy was fucking I honestly thought they might have been giving Corey extra screen time because they fucking canceled his series out of the fucking blue. They just took it out from under him.
Do you think there could – I could see, like, a legit just Corey series.
I could see a Corey series. I can see Corey giving Captain Kanz an arm wrestling contest again.
Or they'll just keep bringing him back on this, then he'll cheat on that girl with like another girl, then we'll just do this again.
Why was he so mad?
It made no sense.
No.
It made no sense. It made no sense.
Because also because he's dumb, because these are dumb people.
Again, yeah. Coming back to that again, we're not dealing with Harvard here. Speaking of a smart person, beautiful, smart person, our girl Anissa gets a FaceTime from Mama Anissa, JJ. That had to warm your heart. You didn't see Anissa's mom on the FaceTime. I did not see that coming when the season started.
I mean,
is that the first mom in challenge history? Have we ever seen a parent before?
I mean, Melissa's right there.
Yeah, true. For all intents and purposes, she is.
No, like Josh's whole family cried. Yeah, listen.
Oh, yeah, Josh's mom was on.
Anissa just gets picked off. Like, that's just who she is. Like, that's her thing. I don't, you know, her best days are behind her in terms of being competitive just from a, like, leverage and relationship standpoint. But keep cashing that check, boo-boo.
I loved her mom. She was, like, chewing the camera. Yeah. Like, she was just like, did you win? Did you make any? I thought her mom was very endearing.
Mm-hmm.
She was a great podcast host. Just like, how many people are left?
Yeah.
Where are you? Are you in Russia? And it's like, no, I can't say that. Who is JJ? Who is Anissa? Like, who's the 90s wrestling comparison right now?
Ooh, to Anissa? She's up there. She's kind of like a Scott Hall. Like, she's been around for a while. She's had some wild times. She's gotten close, like, never got the big title. Been a part of some big storylines.
X-Pac?
That's a good one.
X-Pac.
I just heard the door to my house, and I think there's a chance that my wife is out fighting someone who's lighting up fireworks somewhere. Like, she might be investigating because she knows I'm tied to the computer.
I thought you were about to get another dog.
Yeah, right?
Oh, God, I hope not.
But you're low-key happy because, you know, if I had to have an argument, if I was like, I need to send someone out to MJ. Take care of something, MJ, I would
choose number one overall seed.
Yeah, I don't know. This could be bad.
This is another live podcast. This is a living podcast. We'll see what happens. We'll update you guys next week. We had a tornado go through Riggs' living room. We've had a bunch of shit go on this season. So Connor still hasn't been called by the police. There's a lot of balls up in the air every single episode. That's why you guys listen to No Quitters. What were we talking about? Anissa, Scott Hall, X-Pac. Oh, did you see that Kane? There was a vote tonight. I just blogged it. There was a vote in Knox County and where he's the mayor. Should people have to wear a mask inside of certain buildings? 7-1, it passes. Kane is the only person that voted no. Isn't that unbelievable that Kane has turned on masks? That's the biggest fucking heel turn of all time.
Corporate Kane. Kane doesn't wear a mask.
Corporate Kane. Yeah, he's got corporate on him.
All of a sudden, he's not the Undertaker's brother anymore.
Yeah, I don't know how everything changed after I stopped watching wrestling. But once Kane stopped wearing the mask altogether, I was out. So
he was the scariest wrestler of all time. Kane with the mask is one of the most terrifying people of all time.
Early Undertaker, if you were alive for that, like I was, like, and I remember it, I was petrified that first Survivor Series.
Completely
Papa Shango was too, and then Kane is up there though for sure. That was our if WWE ever wants to sponsor the podcast, this is brought to you by WWE. This segment's brought to you by Dog Walk, presented by Barstool Sports. We already have like two sponsors lined up. We just have to fucking cash them in. All right. So we get to the challenge. Rocks. We have like the names, barrels, you bring rocks into them, all that kind of stuff. They're woken up at 2 a.m. at the house, which I always love. TJ wasn't there, which kind of made it feel inauthentic. I kind of wanted TJ there laughing, pissing people off, banging on pots and pans and shit. Was Nani drinking? It seemed like Nani was drinking because I think she had a bottle in her hand. But
well, there are no more rookies around.
Yeah, that's true. I thought Nani had a bottle of wine in her hand. And pretty much it just is you take rocks, you got to lug them, put them in a barrel.
Nani, or who are you talking about, Clem?
Nani, yeah.
She's gone, no?
Yeah, she is.
Not Nani. Who was it? It was
Casey.
Jenny?
I don't remember. I thought I saw someone with a bottle of wine.
It wasn't D.
Oh, Stone Cold Ed. That was a good one. That was a stunner.
Not bad.
Process of elimination.
This is one of those things where obviously you look, you want to see if anyone's putting the rock in your in your barrel. You're hoping it's not doing it. It's like the opposite of 7-Up. Do you guys remember the game 7-Up?
Where
you
put
the head down, you had to hit the thumb, they put it down. And I always felt like if you didn't get picked in 7-Up, just no one liked you. And it was like it was the opposite of this game where you don't want anyone to put it in you. I always hated people in 7-Up too. They used to sneak and they look at the sneakers.
Look at the shoes.
They look at the shoes. It was such a dirty move. Anyway, so we have like some sort of
– Wait,
like
wait, wait. Time out. I remember 7-Up, but I just don't remember how it was played. How was it played?
You put your head down like this, and you had your thumb up. There were roughly 7 people that were up that would put – like one person would touch your thumb, and you had to guess what person it was. If you guessed it, then you were then up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. That was
I'll important. Tell you. I fucking love that game. I don't know because there was nothing else going in school. It's like the lights were going out too. You were just tired, long day of work, long day at school or whatever. And it was usually at the end of the day. I fucking love 7-Up.
The best is if you knew your buddy was just out, you just let him sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's funny to think about now is all the things your teachers did when you were growing up, and you realize they did those things because they were probably just hung over as shit.
Yep. big time. Movie day, just on, like, on a random Wednesday that made no fucking sense when you look back on it and shit like that. Yeah, and camp counselors, forget it. Like, all the shit that they were fucking doing, laughing. Like, guys, keep it down. Or, like, just...
Wasn't Eddie a camp counselor?
Oh, yeah, rec leader.
Yeah.
3 summers.
How would you rate yourself, Ed, as a counselor? How would you rate yourself?
Overall, decent, but not the best.
Not bad.
I had to write a hand apology. Camp?
Oh, no, not sleepover camp. I'm not fucking putting fucking shaving cream and shit on my ear. That's not happening.
I had to write a hand apology letter for swearing as a basketball counselor.
Really?
Bad Bobby.
Yeah. Somebody heard me. No, I was like literally talking to one of my buddies, and the kids walked by like as I was in mid-conversation, being like, these fucking idiots.
That's bullshit.
Okay. One person literally like got called like, you have to write a handwritten letter apology.
That sucks. That sucks.
That does suck.
We get Josh comes to – oh, they kind of do this whole – what's it called? Mid-game agreement where they have to
– yeah.
Where Josh is totally in the wrong.
Fuck. You guys hear me?
Yep. Yeah.
Fuck, hold on.
We can hear you.
Uh-oh.
Put your headphones on.
Yeah, it might be the headphones. Headphones might help.
There we go.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you now. The headphones down. I don't know what's going on. I'll listen to hear what you dickhead said when I lost
it. It was literally, check the headphones.
No, it then said it switched to the microphone as my headphones. I hate that that's even an option. The microphone can even be in the headphones. It makes no sense. Josh comes to an agreement, drops the barrel.
But it wasn't the agreement. They just said, yeah, like Fessy said, yeah, we'll put you in. And then Josh, they showed his like close-up. He's like, so they said they put me in the tribunal, which was never said.
Never said what?
He made up that promise to himself. Josh just looks for an excuse to act like someone just turned on him. He just likes to go, all right, now I see how you are, because he just plans for future seasons of not winning.
he's just figuring out the best way to make himself the victim.
Yep.
Pocket, like, what do they make a year? Like 50,000?
I don't know. Maybe some of them make 50. I feel like none of these younger guys are making 50. There's no shot.
Josh is probably like, between Big Brother, like, just pocket his 50,000 a year call it quits.
Yep. And everyone's your friend. Everyone's your enemy. Right. You're the most important person in the game. You want this more than anyone, yet you never want to go in a challenge, blah, blah, blah. Jenny and Fessy win. They're trying to decide if you put Kyle or Josh in the tribunal. Melissa holding that barrel kind of fucking shook me up. And we got Going the Distance by Cake, which might have been the highlight of the entire challenge. Good fucking throwback song. Captain Hardo, what did you think about this one here?
Great challenge. Yeah, no, I think this was definitely going to come down to how it played out with people just getting tired and bored. Obviously, the few people that dropped it right away, but I think this was going to come down to, all right, this is going to go on for a while because some of them didn't really have much in their barrel to begin with, so they had to just make that agreement. It was just too bad for Josh, and he was too stupid to see what was happening right in front of his face.
Yeah. I hate when there's like – I hate when they try to bargain stuff during challenges, during eliminations, during all this stuff when they try to get in the game. But at this point, like, there's so much shit on the line and no one else really needs to go in. It just made sense. We kind of touched on it earlier. Like, all this shit about Corey was so fucking tiring. I couldn't stand it. Was I losing my mind, Ed? Or
I think they were just filling shit, filling time. Like, D is such a pain in the ass that she's always causing, like, she's inserting herself in everything anyway, that they probably have to throw away, like, 3 storylines.
I hope that's it, because you're right. There was no reason for that Corey fucking pouty pants to go on for that long.
Yeah. It has to be D. It had to be all D, because the only thing that mattered was the girls' elimination, because Bailey was the only one without a skull. So whoever she faced was going to be someone with a skull, and whoever was going to get thrown in was going to be some sort of a problem, obviously, because we've made it this far and whatever. And I'm sure D was probably involved. I mean, her and Anissa have any history that we know of? I mean, she could have fucking hit either of them over the head with a steel chair the last 3 weeks. We would have fucking never known it, right? They've just edited her out of it altogether.
He hasn't anything with Melissa. Unless – no, they're not from the same show overseas, so.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's anything with Anissa either.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Obviously, D and Bailey have a beef, so D could have been trying to do stuff to get Bailey to get sent home or something. Again, we don't know what the fuck happened.
They just focused on Casey and Bailey.
Yeah, yeah. So Corey, all that Corey nonsense about even the tribunal and stuff, it was just tough to watch. Kyle gets voted in. He's happy about it. We go partying. The only thing I had for the partying scene was Melissa did another fucking shot, which wasn't cool. It could have been juice, but I mean, it clearly wasn't juice. It was like a red drink.
Watching her just like hold something heavy and like squat it over, I was like, oh my God, it's going to slip out.
I Googled like, what can happen to this? And it's like early birth. I mean, and
you could have a miscarriage.
Yeah.
The fact that she didn't have a miscarriage is the win of the whole season.
That's the word I didn't want to say.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that either, Connor. God damn it. I tried to leave it fucking I took a screenshot of what could happen. I was like, this is a little too extreme. And Connor's over here throwing M-words around. Yeah,
she had the fucking, baby. She
we saw Rocky baby. Too. We understand you shouldn't be carrying a 50 pounds dog food everywhere, which is crazy. But that's what they fucking did back in the 70s. You just let Adrian just fucking walk around.
Worked until the kid was going to come out.
The fucking kid came out like a fucking 7-year-old, had the full head of hair, had more hair than Eddie does. And Eddie has a nice head on that head.
Nice head on that head.
What else we have here? Again, anything? I don't think there was really anything else in the partying scene.
It was just a lot of pouting.
Yeah.
I will say this. So like for the most part, with the exception of maybe a one or two, I've liked all the challenges this year. This one is just like an annoying thing to do because those balls and those cinder blocks, those aren't easy. They're not necessarily crazy heavy, but they're just a pain to carry. So mm-hmm. And the fact that they woke them up at 2 a.m. or whatever time it was.
This was a good old school challenge.
Yeah.
Like the wake up, the screw somebody else, and then just like carry heavy shit. Like that's an old school challenge.
This was the first time I felt like there was like the people were actually trying to screw each other over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there was alliances being formed. Like there hasn't been that this season. Like, because clearly Johnny's just kind of hanging out at this point. Mm-hmm. He's got his skull, he's good. Right. But by now, you know, people are going at Johnny's neck left and right. And he's freaking out. And, you know, that creates a lot. This is the first time. So,
especially, like, on the fly. Like, coming up with alliances on the fly. Like, okay, like let's fuck this guy as we're all carrying, like, within 10 steps of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I can't really complain that much. I do think part of the reason they may not have done this kind of stuff earlier is it always just the rookies end up getting fucked.
Yeah.
So they probably have to wait for it to, you know, at the end here is where you're going to, you could probably end up potentially getting a rival for future seasons based on this is when it seems to be like the real betrayals happen is the last few episodes.
Because these people are so petty that they would remember something as simple as, yo, he put that last ball in my bucket and not into Johnny's bucket.
Like Josh will remember this and create a fake rivalry.
Yeah.
Exactly. 100%. We go to the tribunal, and other than all the Corey bullshit we kind of talked about that just made no goddamn sense, I have another quote from my boy, Nelson. I know I'm a loser, but make me feel like a winner. Just like so unnecessary and dumb, but beautiful at the same time. God bless Nelly.
Especially with like the new haircut. He had the new hairstyle too. He didn't have like
– Yeah.
It wasn't that same style before.
Speaking of Nelly – Eddie, I saw a tweet that somehow got on the No Quarters timeline. We weren't tagged in it, but someone said people need to know that Eddie Barstool had the name Stone Cold Ed Ken as his AIM name, and he had a Band-Aid. Tell us about Nelly Ed. And you replied, you know, the name has been mentioned on a podcast, which is obviously this podcast. Don't know about Nelly Ed. So can we get a quick Nelly Ed story here?
I just like Nelly, and, you know, there might have been like a dance. I might have thrown out like a little Band-Aid for at one point, you know, and just that's really the long and short of it, I guess.
That's the exact story I was hoping it was. That's the exact story I wanted to hear. I had a friend who his buddy used to dress up as Nelly. He just threw the Band-Aid on every so often. That's a move. I feel like that's a solid move, Ed. So I'm a fan of Nelly Ed. Do we have any pictures of this dance?
Thankfully, those are gone.
Air Force Ones?
I did not have forces, actually. No forces.
Shocking. Did you ever have Air Force Ones, or did you just you know, ignore the – like, that's a call to action if you're a Nelly guy. I feel like you almost have to have them at some point now.
Dude, surprisingly, I never did, no.
Really?
Now I don't think I ever will, because it's the exclusive shoe of White Sox Dave, so.
You were preparing yourself for a future with White Sox Dave living as your foil. So in a weird way, it all kind of worked out. And it was probably like a future Ed told, like, baby Ed, like, don't ever get Air Force Ones before they even invented. And you were just like, never can get Air Force Ones. So, okay, that kind of makes sense there. We get into the elimination. Cars with Ropes is, I don't know the fucking name of it, I'm going to call it. It's basically the CT versus J, the new version of it.
Yeah, it's the Jungle Gym Challenge, but with a car.
The Jungle Gym Challenge with the car, yeah. Did you guys catch Josh's reaction when he saw it? And he saw it wasn't just like run the fuck over someone. He was like, God damn it. He was like, he was going to have to require using his brain.
Even if he got ran over, he would get run over.
He probably would. Who did he lose to last season? He
lost to Jordan in the tug of war.
Yep.
Lost to the one-armed guy and the one-handed guy in the tug of war.
Yeah. Yep, so now he would just literally get truck sticked.
Tough look.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, Jordan would kick my ass in a tug of war, but nonetheless, like, okay, so that's where we're going in with Josh. Anita gets voted in over Melissa. All I have here is I'm so happy. I was so scared Melissa was going to go in there. I didn't know what kind of stuff she'd be asked to do as a pregnant woman, and she's just so goddamn adorable, Ed. This is our girl. I don't know if it's because there's no sports around. I don't have anything else really to root for other than my new, like, quarantine teams I've picked up. I let out a fucking as if the Mets just like clinched the playoffs. I was like, yes, when she like basically assured herself a final, depending on what happens next week. Melissa Train's looking good right now. That's all I gotta say.
Josh voted in Anissa over Melissa. Melissa not only screamed in your face, Josh, but she did the voice. She did the Josh voice in your face like 2 days earlier.
Yeah.
Josh is such a cuck boy. Like, such a cuck boy. Eventually, he's going to have, like, a girlfriend, and he's going to bring her to, like, some challenge, like, get-together or whatever, and, like, Derek's going to fuck her, or Brad. He's going to walk in on Derek and Brad double-teaming Josh's girlfriend. Because Melissa did the voice in your face.
That's a good point. That's I remember when Kate did the Carrabba's voice. That was like kidding around and fun. And even to this day, like, I just see that and I think of the Kate voice, and I've seen people tweet it too, and it's like, it's a good, when someone does the voice at you, that hurts. It's not a good thing. So that's a good point. Cuckboy is the perfect name for Josh. Unfortunately, we don't get to do it much more. Fortunately, we get to talk about Josh. Don't have to talk about Josh much more. I'm having a bad brain day, if you guys can't tell. I'm clear to start releasing the pipes, so I'm off my Costanza. I can't fucking.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm fucking all
good,
over the
good
place.
Good and bad all at the same time, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just complimented you like a couple days ago, too.
Yeah, I was on my game. I'm off it now. Let's see what we have here. Says he doesn't trust Bailey. I'm guessing because Bailey like fucking melted down like a crazy person in her face. Bailey wins. Anissa loses. Our girl. JJ.
JJ, keep that thought. But real quickly, when we're talking about Bailey, is there anything that could ever possibly happen in a challenge that would warrant acting the way that she did last week?
That's strategy. You don't have to be right if you could be the loudest. Like,
that's true.
I mean, that is a way to win an argument.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Especially when you're dealing with, you know, the people that go on the challenge. And yes. I called it Swaggy retired. Swaggy put his own jersey in the rafters this week.
That's right. I had that at the bottom of the thing. So Swaggy is retired. Is it because Bailey won $1 million? Tune in next week and find out. But she beats Anissa here. This is JJ's girl, so... JJ, have any thoughts? I mean, we should have seen it coming when Mama Anissa was on the screen.
Yeah, I mean, that was all, you know, she got turned on for no reason. Like, people worry about, running the challenge with her, but it's supposed to be an individual, you know, individual final. So, you know, if you don't show up as a threat or, you know, she brought up a lot of good points too. You know, people get to stay and go to the final who, you know, can't swim.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's good at puzzles, but keep cashing those checks, you know, get the checks. She's on TV. We're not.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. This is what happens. Look back to last week. Nani goes home. Then, of course, and then here comes Anissa right up the rear. It's like the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, T-Mac's not making out of the first round. You know, it's just like – it's just you just know – some things don't change, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of like last year when the offseason, the Browns, everyone's like, uh-oh, look out, here come the Browns. And it's like, no, they're not coming. Trust me. Yeah. I don't care who they got. They're the Browns.
It's like Chief running and Notre Dame is going undefeated block.
Exactly. It sucks. Anissa had a good season, but it's like, it just, I don't know. Like, it's fake at this point.
It's like the Mets the paying Bobby Bonilla. Yeah.
Shout out to Bobby Bonilla Day.
She just can't get to the Final Four.
Do you have anything to say?
The Bobby Bonilla thing, it's crazy because it was financially a good – it made business sense of time. And the other thing is that it's a Darren Revelle thing. So everyone who does it is just – I call it the children of Revelle at this point. He made it such a big thing on Twitter like 100 years ago when he, you know, was starting out that I consider it a Revelle holiday, and I don't like Darren Revelle. I embrace the Mets substitute. They're the reason I have a job partially because they're such a fucking bunch of idiots. But the Bobby Bonilla thing is just crazy to me. But
it's
hilarious too.
Funny.
Such a goddamn – it's the name Bobby Bonilla. He was such a goddamn asshole in 99. Him and Ricky Henderson were playing cards in the clubhouse as the Mets were trying to stay alive in Game 6 in Atlanta as Kenny Rogers walked home the game-winning run, which, by the way, is such an underrated, gut-wrenching way to lose to your rival in the playoffs. And to this day, I'll say they would have been the first team to come back from 3-0 in the playoffs, which then happened to JJ's Yankees. I'll also add just to kind of make myself feel a little better. But, yeah.
It's also the fact that it's, like, not that much money.
Bobby,
yeah, like if you look,
you're shaking a stick at one. What is it? 1.5 or 1.7 every year?
No, but 1.19. You look present day, like it's not like an insane amount to pay per year.
No, I get that. Like, you know, a million off their books is nothing. Right. But the fact that he's cashing a check for 1.1 every year.
I'm saying from the Mets side, not from the media side. Like, okay. It's also just you just look at that dollar amount and you're like. Okay, like a protein paying that is literally nothing right now.
So I have two questions. One, why was that a smart move at the time, Clem? And two, this doesn't happen anymore, right? Where they get these deferred payments.
There's a ton of them.
All the time.
Oh,
Chris
really?
Davis is going to get one.
Yeah, Chris Davis is going to get one. He was like some of the worst of Bobby Bonilla for the Mets. Bruce Sutter has been getting one from the Braves like since like 1985. Is going to have it until like five. It might be longer than Bonilla when it's all said and done. So it happens all the time. It's been happening forever. It's just Bobby Bonilla plus Mets. Plus, again, Darren Revelle fucking getting in all your brains.
Yeah, that's probably why I only think about Bonilla and forgetting that, it has happened to other places. I just didn't think it still happened anymore. Like people get deals currently.
Ken Griffey's getting $3.6 million through 2024 from the Reds. He's been getting that for 15 years.
And like it happens in the NBA, too.
Garnett's still getting $5 million a year from the Celtics.
Bro, these are people you
know is getting something.
Max Scherzer gets paid $15 million a year till
Darren Williams just got off the payroll for the Nets.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, good for these guys, but that's just
Pujols gets $10 million a year for 10 years. After he retires, whenever he retires,
who did the Knicks stretch? What Chauncey?
Dude, who knows? Chauncey way back in the day.
Joking. Yeah,
who cares? Who cares?
But like going to like what you said, like these people that are getting paid, like these are the people that are still just cashing paychecks.
Here's my thought. UConn going back to the Big East is the first step to getting the Garden back to where it once was. And slowly but surely, all the pieces are going to come back into the puzzle. And before you know it, the Knicks, when, I don't know, maybe your children have children, maybe the Knicks will be relevant again. You got to just basically wait until Dolan dies.
Just slap the air.
I need you to kill James Dolan, Connor. Kill James Dolan for me.
Have him come to Hoboken one night, and I'll take care of it.
Push him in the river. Or, like, slap an Aeropostale logo on the – Madison Square Garden floor, like old school Big East tournament.
we've reached a whole other point of the podcast.
It really wasn't a great episode of the challenge.
It was, I don't think it was either.
Great episode of No Quitters, though.
Got the T-Mac, no playoffs.
That's what it was.
Comparison to Anissa. fucking Cons wants to talk about Bobby Bonilla. Darren Rovell fucking.
Well, it is Bobby Bonilla Day, so it's not like I just pulled that out of nowhere.
I will say this. Bobby Bonilla, it's the fact that it's like a cool $1 million. It's July 1st, so there's nothing else going on, and it's like that day. And the name Bobby Bonilla and Mets, it's all that shit makes it perfect. And the fact Rovell has, like, he's a virus that has got into the internet and it's spread to all your fucking brains. I'll pray for you tonight. however, I need this baseball season to happen, because if Bobby Bonilla ends up being, like, they were going to say, like, the highest paid player of the season.
Prince Fielder's making $24 million this year.
Oh, see, that's the thing. But no one's going to say that. They're all going to say Bobby Bonilla. The memes have already been out there. I've seen all the memes. God damn it. So just life as a Mets fan for me. So Bailey wins and Nisa loses. And since I'm an old person, does anyone else here do closed captioning during any show, let alone the challenge?
Some shows I do.
So do we. So it happened to be on from another show that we were watching. And it fucking says, Anissa says it. She's like, you know, people here, like, who've been on three challenges think they know what it takes of, you know, being a final and how he needs endurance. And she's like, well, instant karma. Like, I guess it's great to see instant karma happen. She doesn't say that with her mouth, like with her voice, but it comes up on the closed captioning. So the fucking editor boned that one. So there's a lot of boning by tonight's editors. I'm not very happy. D has caused complete chaos on the challenge. Let's just call it what it is. We get into Josh versus Kyle. Josh stinks, loses. Johnny Wood said he added more knots than he started with. Just an absolute beatdown. Kyle is going in and out, weaving in and out of that car. Melissa's cheering him on in her cute little voice.
Can we talk about that? The people from the side with the really profound coaching. Make it tough. Tie that knot. Yes. Keep going. It's like, well, just shut up. You're not adding anything to help them.
The producers probably egged them on, though. Yeah, you're like, otherwise you're just standing there for like 2 hours. That sucks.
I can't wait to do this to Connor next season. When he's trying to tie it up and the four of us are just standing up on the ledge like, Connor, make it tighter.
Yeah, tie it as you did when you killed that person that time. Threw him in the river, you fucking asshole.
It's going to make No Quitters that much better. I'll have all the insight. I'll just tell, like, all the shit I'm not supposed to say.
Yeah. That's true. It's like when we went to the reunion and we got to give, like, the inside scoop what the reunion was like, where we sat
that was terrible, wasn't
backless
it?
Benches for, like, 8 hours. It was exhausting.
It was terrible.
I think JJ's onto something here, like, you don't know what the producers are saying. It's like when you go to a live studio audience show and they have the warm-up comic, obviously, but then they have like the, all right, we need you guys to clap and be louder, louder, louder. And like they make
Do any of you guys watch crazy. Unreal?
Yes. Well, not anymore, but I had watched it like the first season.
Yeah. What's Unreal that? Is a show about made by people who worked on The Bachelor about the behind the scenes of a show like The Bachelor.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's basically exposing all the secrets of making The Bachelor.
And I think it's the extreme because people aren't dying like on The Bachelor. Yeah. Like one person died or whatever, or there was a suicide threat. But I think a lot of the coaching and stuff you see.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Yeah. Big moment. We have Rob Zombie, Dragula, our second throwback song of the day. I'd say this. We've talked about it, joked about it. It's legitimately a thing now. This Spotify playlist, it's fucking awesome. Because not only does it have like a lot of hits that everyone loves, it has the perfect, like, the ecosystem. Everything is accounted for. We have the hip hop, we have like the rock, we have the hard rock, the metal, we have everything you could ever want, the slow songs. Everything is there, man. This fucking DJ has killed it this season.
How do you think the songs have come? Like, is it just one of the producers is picking? Is it someone who specializes in it? Has it, like, gone around and someone was like, let me get the aux cord this season? And it's just, like, worked out. Is someone just so good at this, their whole job? They make, like, I don't know, 65 grand a year, but they just pick 3 songs a week and crush it? Like, no one else could do the job like them.
I think it's probably, like, the one dude who, like, still listens to music at MTV. Like, I blogged this weekend. Ridiculousness is every minute of the 4th of July equine Friday at 12 a.m. all the way to Sunday at 12 a.m. There's nothing but ridiculousness except for a 1 hour block of Fresh Out playlist.
I saw you know, there's a 28 hour stretch of Ridiculousness, and it's not the longest stretch of the time.
That's ridiculous.
That 1 hour break. That 1 hour break. That's ridiculous,
non-ironically. Yeah. But you know what this? You know who it is? Probably Jack. It's probably like someone like Milton from Office Space, where they're just stuck in a basement, right?
No, it's probably not.
It's listen to me. It's someone like Milton. They stuck in a basement who's just really pining for the old days of MTV. Who's just like really getting the programming going for when they're really going to ramp up the music videos again. And they just
Kurt Loder. They've got Kurt Loder chained up in the basement.
Yeah, and they're just like, "Hey, give us 3 songs," and he just shouts them up, and then that's what they play that week.
That dude, Wait, Jesse,
I wish they played this song in a better elimination.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Let's take predictions. Paul Brawl next week. What song are we going to hear?
So that was, I actually have this
right now. Ball with the ball.
That's it. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Break stuff?
Bodies hit the floor.
Ooh. That's a great, yep. That's a really good call.
Firestarter
is always a favorite on the challenge. That's a good one too. Damn.
Is there an Andrew WK song that makes sense there? Because I feel like he's made for MTV.
I'm gonna say Last Resort.
That's a really good call. That has to be played at some point this year.
I'm throwing this one out there too for the child. It's a final song, so they wouldn't play it next week. They play it during the finals, and they play it probably at the end of the final. I think they've probably done it at the end of the finals. I feel like Everlong, Foo Fighters, we're overdue for an Everlong song at some point.
Or so, do they play Heroes? Yeah. Like if a guy and girl cross around the same time.
All right. Let's go around. Let's put it on the board of what I'll have Last Resort. Who do you guys have during Hall Brawl next week?
I said
Ball with the ball. That's a good one.
Break stuff.
Yep.
Bodies at the floor.
That's a good one. JJ, what was yours?
Hero by Enrique Iglesias.
Hey, you never know. Fucking like Melissa's there and she's like cradling her belly so it doesn't get hit in the hall.
Anna Kournikova shows up.
we kind of alluded to it real quick there, but oh shit, I almost missed the entire the line that we had. Fucking our boy TJ, out of the blue, didn't even know he had any kind of feelings towards Josh one way or the other, says to Bailey and Kyle, to Bailey, "You took down a legend." To Kyle, "You took down a guy who cries a lot, but he's pretty good." What a fucking moment that was, TJ. I didn't know he had that in him. I honestly didn't. I had no idea.
That's actually like on the meaner side for TJ.
It's very, yeah.
That was it was an unnecessary shot. I mean, it was true. But necessary,
definitely. That's like, I think, so he's had some good laughs in like the spelling bees. He's had some, the don't care, don't take care, see you never. But that's like when people quit. He roasts quitters. I mean, that's why we're named what we are. But I didn't even know, did Josh cry last season in front of him? He probably cried after that tug of war. Did he cry after that tug of war?
Yeah, he cries a lot. I mean, TJ's not just gonna, he's not gonna make up shit.
Yeah. On the next on, we get looks like we get some car bowling, which I honestly thought we were going to go straight to the finals. I didn't think that there'd be any more.
I would love to do this next one.
There's too many people to do a final. Like, there's still a lot of people. Yeah. They need a big elimination. They need to call like 2 people of each sex.
I love that they teased that all season about how like, hey, a lot of people are just going to be left at the start line if they don't have a skull. And everybody had a chance to get a skull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, you know what? That kind of pisses me off. I'm kind of upset now, Eddie. We lost one person because of injury. Big T was the only person that went home because of that's lame. I wanted to have like 3 people.
And nobody just left, right? Like nobody got kicked out or anything like that.
I have a bad taste in my mouth, Eddie. I have a bad taste in my mouth after that. Yep. That's not a good look. And now we're just keep on doing eliminations over and over. I mean, I guess you want people to stop trying to weasel out of challenges, or out of eliminations, but yeah, it's not good. Carboy, this could be another Fast and the Furious tie-in or whatever the fuck. We got a Hall Brawl. It looks like we have a foot. I was looking at that foot. Were you guys trying to figure out who it was based on the foot? No. You have any guesses?
No.
I think it's Corey. I don't know why. I just looked like a Corey kind of shoe to me.
Should have looked at his arm.
Exactly. And then maybe Melissa's screaming, but that could be any point during the episode. That's just trickery.
She better not be in the Hall Brawl.
She's giving birth.
Oh God, if she's in that fucking, if she's in that hall, bro, I don't want to think about it. Connor, don't say anything fucking off color right now. All right, don't tell us what you're thinking about what could happen in this hall. Okay. Sick bastard. MVP, LVP, JJ, MVP, LVP.
My MVP is Melissa's baby for staying in there. Just really just gripping onto the walls like a kid afraid to go down a slide for the first time.
Yes.
And I mean, my LVP is Josh for just being like a crying bitch.
Mm. Yep. When you get roasted by TJ, I mean, there's, I don't know how you're going to be anything, but
yeah, when you vote in the girl who went, oh, no, in your face, and that's what you actually sound like, and you know it because you have ears. That sucks.
Cuck boy. Cons, who you got, MVP, LVP?
All right, my MVP is simultaneously my LVP. My MVP is Fessy for holding on to that dream of making it to the NFL, even though he was the 30th ranked tight end in the draft. And my LVP is Fessy for thinking he had a shot at the NFL being the 30th ranked tight end in the draft.
That's really good. That's really good, Cox.
Do you think Fessy was like, they had like a camera set up at the house for like his like draft reaction? And he's like,
yeah, right?
Like, you're crossing off like all the tight ends ahead of you, and there's like six of them gone. And you're like, well, I guess I'd better hopefully get a phone call to like,
I guess they didn't drop down the nickel state.
There's three picks left. He's like, I like my chances.
I like my chances here. Riggs, who you got?
MVP. I'll go with Kyle because he finally got like the skull. He finally, like, it felt like it was building up. This season's been building up for like a Kyle type season. LVP, it's Josh.
Yeah. I mean, Josh, it is what I almost feel like the MTV producers were like, yo, fuck this guy, Josh. Let's just make this one where, like, Kyle will crush him and have him, like, just – like, move Hall Brawl to next week. Well, like, let's do the one where they have to, like, squirm around the cars and Kyle and Josh is too big to, like, get around.
Like, so I didn't like how Kyle reacted to the win and everything. Like, it was kind of awkward how he did, like, the whole, like, screaming into the camera and all that. Mm-hmm. But – this season had, like, especially the last few episodes, has built towards, like, Kyle's actually not a bad competitor.
Yeah, you're right. Ed, who do you got?
LVP is going to either go to whoever decided to give that Corey storyline so much airtime. I don't even want to blame Corey because I don't even know if it was his fault. But whoever played into that part, that was bad. And surprisingly, my MVP actually might surprise you. I'm going to go with Nelson. Shocking!
Whoa!
I'm having that moment with Anissa in the bunk bed, okay, or whatever. Like, he was pretty sincere. He actually, like, that's a tough conversation to have, and he came off actually as a good dude. So good for him.
Nelson's found his way. Like, he's realized, like, the bed, like, bedside discussion, that's his, like, wheelhouse there. He says the same shit he says everywhere else, and it sounds stupid when everyone's drinking or everyone's, like, in a challenge, but when he does it bedside, it hits. He has a good bedside manner to him, so, and, like, those, like, motivational speeches. I'm with you on that, Ed.
He's one of those people who does the motivational speeches, but he doesn't do it ironically, and he doesn't do it because he thinks it's what he should do. He does it because he genuinely believes all those things. For whatever reason, he got to that point in his life, but, you know, credit to him for being that type of person. So yeah, I like it.
Yep.
It's starting to grow on me.
My MVP, just because, I mean, the band who sung Going the Distance, Cake. I had a fucking – it was Wifey's birthday the other day on Monday. Happy birthday, Wifey. I had a great piece of cake. And I think Cake – I feel like there's a little bit of hatred towards Cake on the internet. It's like the Beatles. The Beatles suck. Everything sucks on the internet. It's good. I think Cake is the king of, like, a dessert. I think a good piece of cake, nothing beats it. So
where do you stand on ice cream cake versus regular cake?
I think ice cream cake is the only cake that deserves mentioning.
I got that for my birthday. That's why I asked.
But they just got it at the supermarket, way too close to the checkout lines. For those, like, Carvel things. I come home with, like, a small cake. Oh, it's been a problem during quarantine.
Quarantine cake sales have to be up big time.
I just eat half a cake. Like, I'll probably do it one night this weekend for America. Like, in the back of my head, like, I'm not going to say it out loud, but I'll in the back of my head, something will be like, well, you know, 4th of July, like we let the British know, and then I'll eat half a cake, and then I'll feel awful in the morning.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir, would you like me to put anything in your cake? No, it's all right. Just leave it blank. I'm just going to go home and just – and I'm not even going to cut it. I'm just going to eat it with a fork right off.
I've gotten, like, the stuff to write stuff on it, too. I made it some excuse to, like, do something for my wife. And she was
really?
Like, what are you doing? Like, you're just you just want to eat an ice cream cake. And, like, I tried to write something. It came out bad, so I ended up just squeezing out the whole thing over the top. So it was just like – nice. Yeah, it was real, real shitbag stuff. This was early in quarantine.
Ed, where do you stand on cake?
Clem, I hate to do this, but I think cake is pretty overrated.
Oh, dagger.
Ed has spoken. Stone Cold Ed.
You sound like you're underwater.
Yeah.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I sound better now?
Yeah.
Yes. Right, Clem is heartbroken.
My blanket got over my microphone.
This isn't Eddie talking. This is like fucking fake Eddie talking right now. I refuse to believe this weird sounding Eddie is the real Eddie. This isn't you talking.
Clem, listen. Cheesecake, pie, chocolate chip cookies, brownies, all superior desserts than cake.
He makes fair points.
I'm going to take
it. Cake is really fucking good.
I'm going to take it for. That's my guy. I love ice cream cake. I think saying ice cream cake's the only way to go is a preposterous move. Fucking wedding cakes have
Dude,
been.
You never just in a supermarket, no. You pick up a box cake, you just throw it in.
Stop
it.
Stop it.
Nothing wrong with that. Just throw it in there.
My wife is like a baker. Like my wife bakes like all sorts of wild stuff. But for her like birthday every year, I make her a box cake or like box brownies. Like she can make this wild shit.
Listen.
And then I just am like, hey, here, I'll try. I'll do this one thing.
JJ, no, listen, wait till your daughter's old enough, too, and you make it together, melting the heart every single time. It's just right out of the box, but it's right to the
that's
fucking
gonna
heart.
That's going to be a mom thing. I'll just be around to, like, you know, eat whatever's made. I was – this week, my daughter keeps trying to get under, like, the TV stand and under the couch. And I was like, oh, she's going to need, like, you know, a princess tent or something in her room. And I was like, maybe a tent in the backyard. Maybe she'll want to like camp in the backyard with mom. And my wife was like, oh, you wouldn't go? You wouldn't go out there? I was like, oh, yeah, if she asked me, I just hope every day that she doesn't ask me. I don't want to get, like, I would for her, but I just don't want to. And she's like, what kind of father are you? And I'm like, well, because I didn't hypothetically, because I hypothetically go camping.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping. I'm not saying I'd say no. I just hope she never asks me. Yeah, I think that's fair.
That's fair.
I'm teaching my son the couch is the place to sleep. Like, don't go outside.
Here's my final take on cake. We've all, I think, at this point, been to enough weddings to know, like, you walk around towards the end of the night at the wedding, and there's just uneaten cake all over everybody's table because nobody freaking eats the piece of cake that gets put in front of
them. That's why we didn't have cake at our wedding. We did cannolis and cupcakes.
Smart. We didn't serve cake. We had like a dessert bar.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then like an hour after that, we had a breakfast bar as well. But then on the way out, you got cake wrapped.
That's smart. Back to the room. That's smart. Yeah.
The best thing I've seen is this one venue I've been to a few times. They have a Good Humor station on your way out.
Oh, that's good.
I saw a Ben and Jerry's one where you got some Ben and Jerry's, which is that's perfect for late.
The worst one I've been to, a Skyline one.
Oh, it's such a Cincinnati trash wedding. Yep. I mean, that's as bad as going to a bachelor party in Detroit. That's pretty fucking rotten, Robbie. God damn it, man. Like, you guys ever done
– Oh, yeah, you have a bachelor party in Detroit coming up?
Yeah, I drunkenly committed to it.
Is that still
happening? Yeah, I bet you that was. Yeah.
It's still going on?
We got like a month.
I thought Connor was the only person who went to a different state every day during a pandemic. This guy's been everywhere in the goddamn world. It's like, oh, I'm in Long Island. Oh, I've been going to Manhattan at the peak of it for pizza. Now I'm going to my parents' house. You know, spit in their mouths. They're in their 60s. Oh, what's going on? Oh, let's go to Avalon. Let's go to Rhode Island. Dude, quarantine yourself. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, Gons. Khan's now killing people the new fashioned way. The old fashioned way wasn't enough. Right? Now he's killing people.
That's what he does. He fucking just grabs them by the face, coughs in their mouth, and pushes them over.
That's like, you know, which Batman was that where it was like
the mask?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one.
Scarecrow.
Yeah. He's just doing that and pushing them over.
Yeah.
God damn it, Khan.
What's everyone doing for 4th of July this weekend?
Wearing a mask.
I'm going to North Carolina.
Social distancing.
Going to North Carolina, isn't that like one of the worst places you could go?
It's not my decision.
Well, why don't you put your foot down?
I tried.
Okay. Doesn't have feet anymore. Kyrie's married. Yeah. You lose your feet. They chop them off. And that's why you get the nice piece of cake, because it's the one thing that makes you feel good about it.
I'm going to see friends for the first time since this whole thing started.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Where?
Julian and Marcy live around the corner from me. We haven't seen each other the whole time.
That's good.
Yeah.
Ed, aren't you going somewhere?
Yeah, we're going to go to Wisconsin.
Where?
House? Is this a house? Are we doing like a
cabin type deal?
Cabin. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to look for like on Airbnb. Like, I don't need the beach. I'm just trying to find like just someone renting out their house with a pool kind of nearby. So I don't even have to stay at that house. I could just
rent walk out. In and go to the pool.
Like just for the weekend.
Yeah.
They're not there, but like, you know, they rent it out. They expect me to be sleeping there, but no, it's just like 40 minutes away and I just go every day.
I mean, that's not a bad idea.
It doesn't exist.
Could you, I mean, I know you're house hunting on Zillow. Could you go on Zillow and be like, hey, can I try the pool out? I'm thinking about buying this house.
They don't have test drives.
Son of a
bitch. Yeah. If I do a cannonball in here real quick.
And I think part of it is just that like no one is traveling.
I'm staying in New Jersey. New Jersey's the safest state in the country right now. True story.
I know.
No, it really is. It really is. We're one of two states that is whatever the numbers are. I don't know.
Rhode Island and New Jersey. It's just where Connor goes.
That's it, man. No, legit. Rhode Island and New Jersey. We're the two states. Hold on, I'll find the tweet.
It is.
Yeah. We're not doing a fucking thing. We can't even like we like to take the kids out for fireworks on 4th of July. We watch them from like a parking lot. They go up in the distance. No fucking fireworks. We're just sitting. I guess I can go to JJ's house. I go to JJ's house. There's fireworks literally. My kid can fire them off out of his fucking mouth if you watch.
I can't wait to find out what happened. Like my wife came back. I muted and was like, "Hey, babe." She was like, "There was a thing with the car. I'll tell you later." It was just like.
She'd be the car.
She sounded like a 90s dad who just got home from work. Like, yeah, there's a thing with the car.
So New Jersey and Rhode Island, New Jersey is one of only two states to record a week-over-week reduction in new cases of 50% or more. So safest place to be right now.
Safest place other than this
down
one
the shore. No. Safest place to be down the shore.
Down the shore. I'll be down the shore all week, and it's going to be great because down the shore everything's all right.
This one spot of Hoboken, however, is the most dangerous place in America. There's just people disappearing there. It's like the Bermuda Triangle of fucking America. It
happens to be right by the pier.
And there's a lot. Someone sprayed Pam on the handrails.
We have to touch on this, actually. This is the last thing that we have to touch on because by next week, we've had a bunch of people tweeting at us. By next week, I don't know if we remember to do it. Our boy Mark Long, how about an old school two-week challenge instead? No stars needed. Him, Lando, Darrell, Rachel, all the old school kind of people in or out on this, fellas. In or out, we'll start with Eddie because he's like kind of he's been in on the new stuff. What do you think about the old stuff coming back?
I mean, of course, I'd be in. I don't mean to be the big downer. Obviously, I doubt they're going to do it because the challenges should have been doing shit like this for a long time.
Yep.
Like, why? Like, who asked for, you know, fucking the guy who dated J-Lo? And Brooke Hogan in a champs versus fuck, you know what I mean? Like, give us old school over that if it's going to be a 2 week special, you know? And they should have done like a farm system that was only on a streaming, so you know what I mean? Like, I know people said before, like, bring like the young people from the recent Real Worlds, throw them on a season, and don't air it on MTV. Just, I would watch that too, you know? But I don't know. I'm in, I guess.
Riggs?
In. To Eddie's point, it's like, they already tried something like this with the wrong cast. Why not try it with the right cast for a shorter period of time when everyone is starved for something new anyways?
Not to mention, you got to factor in their age. I mean, obviously, Mark Long is defying age with whatever the hell he's putting in his body because it's working for age. Yeah, he looks amazing. But, you know, there's already the built-in storylines. Everybody knows who they are. And honestly – when you're talking about these older folks, and they're not old, but they're older, I have to imagine that's going to play a factor. But I wonder how much that would reduce the drama because, you know, you get to a certain age, you're like, I just don't care.
But give me teams of two, whether it's like either rivals together or like best friends together versus rivals.
Yeah, there's a way to do it, but right. I like the idea.
Or a young and an old, like how NXT when it was.
That's not bad. Yeah,
yeah, a young and an old, because I think that would be really good.
I'd like to see, like, you have to make sure that the people that are coming in, the older guys, are like, you know, like you said, injecting themselves with something in shape, because it falls apart quickly. Anyone that's fucking old knows, even if, you know, you're these guys are pretty much in shape for a lot of their lives, and they just it just fall apart. But yeah, young and old can help with that. Also, this is kind of the X factor. A lot of these older people, they like are probably divorced at this point and but have kids they have to pay for. And that makes them a little desperate, which is a good thing. And then they will hook up because like they have no one at home waiting for them.
Oh, let's not act like someone at home would make a difference.
That's not going to stop them. Yeah. What am I saying? I mean, they were fucking raised on the real world right in front of our eyes on TV. So yeah, I think we're all in on it. I think it can go either really good or really bad if these people aren't like up to the challenge.
But hey, Bunham Murray, just give it a go. Just give it a go.
We've green-lighted it, so you guys just, like,
right. I think you're also – you're talking about a group of people who aren't going to ask a lot of questions. And, like, when we're talking waivers, there's a pandemic. Like, listen, these guys know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. They're going to be looking for a cocaine budget.
So, yes is across the board from the No Quitters podcast for the old school two-week challenge or whatever. Just something to break up the ridiculousness. That's all we're asking for at this point. Just give us a little something.
The worst was literally a week ago they gave us the Flashback Friday, and it was so, like, just give us this once a week.
Yeah. I cannot comprehend how, like, ridiculousness must pay money to MTV to air it. It's the only way, like, all these things.
Dude, sense. But I mean, I said it. Like, how do you even tweet that with excitement? They're like, oh, man, look at this lineup. It's going to be great. And it's like, come on. You have to be just screwing with us at this point.
You do realize that we're 35-year-old men. Like, we're not the target demographic.
Yeah. Even still, Jack, if I was 22, I couldn't look at that program schedule and be excited. Hours.
But it's not MTV. It's just, I think, a random person tweeting it out who sees it, probably thinks it's hilarious that it's ridiculous.
It was from their official handle tweeting, like, MTV. Oh, no, wait. I take that back. That's probably not an actual MTV employee. All right. Listen, it's getting late, you know.
Yeah, it is getting late, so we're going to wrap it up now. I don't know what I'm going to do with the first half of the show. We're debating about fucking Bill Raftery as a drinking partner.
You're going to just run it as aired.
I'm going to run it as is. I'm going to have to fucking find timestamps, so we're not going to go back to the
Who
future.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, seriously.
You know what? That's right. Who gives a shit?
Is anyone even checking in from Barstool on this? Like, we could be saying anything we want.
Hey, shut up. You're the one I worry about the most. Don't say
it. Why do you worry about me? Yeah, I'm the one you guys got to worry about the most. Okay.
That's true. You're right. So as always, if anyone from Barstool is paying attention to this, subscribe, rate 5 stars, all that good stuff. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And everyone have a good 4th of July. If you're like Connor and Reckless or Reeves and Reckless, I guess everyone's reckless except for me. I'm the only one being responsible and trying to get us to have an NFL season. So shout out to me. Don't quit on us. We won't quit on you.